Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attic. Come on, go, go, go! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
Never more popcorn.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly,
jack, squat.
Why? Because you can storm back. I know it. You know what to think. Tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend and future owner, Manasse, harder to find than Waldo Givermadine, Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones, Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale, Bruce, the 13th man John Inch, Aaron, enough with a posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson? Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duke Letien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble, Cable, Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer, Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese, Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Give me a second. I will go. Well, okay. So here's the story. But we'll save that for when we talk about what we've been doing the last couple of days. I went to a football game on Sunday, and we lost. The Argos lost. And God forbid, the team they lost to was the BC Lions. So now we have to listen to Christopher tonight. Yeah, it's going to have to happen. All right, so the big thing that's getting to me as a CFL fan, I think the I don't know if to call it confused reaction by the fans in general. As yet, I haven't really, and correct me please if I'm wrong, I guess people don't like new. You know, change is not good for most people. Nobody, I don't think any team's fans, is madly in love with the signature jerseys by Reebok. You know, I kind of like the Argos uniform growing up. That peacock blue, if I remember, in the crayon box, that was the color I liked a lot. And, you know, sky blue kind of. And a lot of people don't, they're not really warm and fuzzy towards those unis. I don't know why. They all look pretty nice. I mean, what Saskatchewan fan doesn't want to wear something that has wheat on the helmet that looks like a watermelon? And I find it ironic that people are complaining about the Saskatchewan gear, the new helmet, and of course the shirt
the jersey, the sweater. I guess in sports it's called a jersey, like the cow. A lot of people complain, and they've been complaining about the uniforms. I like the A. You know, I'm a big fan of Alvin and the Chipmunks. So if you're an Argo fan, it's what you're looking at. You're looking at something that looks like Alvin and the Chipmunks. But that A is the A. That's the A that is the Argos, and that represents the Argos just like it does, you know, in a different style or different font with a different logo. The Alouettes are an A, too, as well. You know, so, you know, the CFL is big on letters, you know, A, as I said, Alouettes, and, of course, the Argos, the W in Winnipeg, the S in Saskatchewan, and just to prove that BC's better, they have two letters, BC. And, of course, you know, then there's Edmonton. Everybody loves that team so much, they added a second E, so it's two E's. You know, you don't get much on the animal front. You know, BC, of course, has the lion in their logo, as does the horse in Calgary, and the cat in Tiger Town in Hamilton. So, you know, what's a uniform anyway? It's just another reason to show your support for your team and to spend some ducats on, of course, your team. And you know what? I'm not. The jury's out in my mind. If my mind was a jury, it's out on the uniforms. I'm getting used to them, and they're all being released. You know, basically one at a time. Of course, they're being introduced at home games. So this past week, the Argos in their home game, they had their new uniforms on. I just found them. They're all right. They're all right. No, I can't restart my computer now in the middle of a program. Windows, please. My goodness. Okay. We'll take a short break. We'll come back, and we'll have to listen to Christopher Jones talking about how terrible the Argos are and how wonderful the BC Lions are. And, of course, if the victory was in reverse, they'd both be tied. So how much better is BC really? I mean, really? Bah. What the heck? It's all in jest and all in fun. You're listening to... Candid Frank, that's how I like to refer to myself. And I'm here to listen to people talk about the CFL. So when we come back, the phone number here is 714-242-5250. And that, of course, is in the United States. And if you do wish to be on the program and don't wish to pay a long-distance bill like some people have, and some of them have been large, just give me a twinkle on the old Facebook message. And I will give you a call and save you some money. Or I could save you some time and just listen to the program, because with the people that are on this program, we cover every opinion. I don't think we miss any. I'm sure there's an opinion or two you'd rather have. Anyway, it's all in fun. Week 8 is in the books. Week 9 is coming up, and we'll review what happened in Week 8. Now, when we come back.
Hello.
Hello.
And joining me now are the Three Stooges. Let's start with the first stooge, Hamilton Tiger Cat 13th man, Bruce John Inch. Welcome to the program, Bruce John Inch. Okay, let's go with our next listener. I guess this might be Kelly Bale. Is this Kelly Bale?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Frank?
Number two stooge, the know-it-all.
You know it.
There you go. And number three on our hit parade, the real know-it-all, Christopher Jones.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening,
aren't you going to say good evening to me? That's because I'm no gentleman. That's because I'm no gentleman.
Yeah. I saw you on TV with your big horn.
Well, you know, I go to every CFL game horny.
Every training game.
Every time. Yeah. I get my big horn on. It's fun. It's fun going to the game and getting all excited. And even when your team
chokes,
craps the bed. I've said it over the past few weeks, and it's becoming more, at least from my perspective as an Argo fan, I think the bye week is, it almost dictates who's going to win the following week. Have you guys not noticed that there's a bit, what was the, somebody answer the door.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that, Frank, at all, because, the proof is in the pudding, and if you go back and you look at the schedule, you're exactly right. It's been the teams coming off the bye week that have won, so.
Much more than not.
I think there's one that didn't win. Just one that didn't win.
There you go.
Needs a bye.
So I wonder, is it because the team, the Argos are played two games in a week, basically. Week 8 had two Argos games. It began with the Argos on Tuesday. It ended with the Argos on Sunday. This isn't a complaint on my part, and I don't think it really – everybody's got to go through it, right? But it does kind of put a little bit of a question on the competitive nature of the game. And next year, if you're a team, people are – I think teams and GMs and coaches and the like look for every possible edge. And if there is an edge with, coming out of a bye week, some people are going to want to negate that as best they can, right? And not play a team that after they're on a bye week.
True. Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, hey. Oski wee wee.
I said hello to you. You were too busy watching TV. Wait, 24 is not going on.
No, under the dome, but I'm taping it.
Well, there's a new term for that. We used to tape it. We don't tape
PBO.
It.
Oh, PBO. Sorry.
Yeah. Download it now. TV. We download it now, right?
Yeah. But
yeah, is it on tonight?
It's on right now, Bill. But yeah.
Oh, I download the 1 a.m. version. I think it starts at 10. No.
Yes,
yeah.
3 hours after us.
Yeah, I download the 1 a.m. version, the one in
Vancouver. Oh, no, I was watching, sorry, man, I'm glued actually to the CNN thing and all that stuff that's going on, but it's awful. But anyways, let's talk football. How was your encounter with BC?
Oh, it didn't work out well.
No, it didn't work out with us either. With
I didn't like the way the story ended.
No, neither did I. No.
Not
well, actually,
happy
I liked
ending.
The end. But you know what? I was rooting for you guys because either way, win or lose, you guys were still going to finish in first. And I honestly believe Toronto will finish first in the East, looking at what's been happening so far. But come Labor Day, you get another loss. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, in general discussion, we might as well just jump right in and start talking about the games last week. But generally speaking, yeah, it is getting kind of frustrating for those of us in the East. As an Argo fan, and I can say this on behalf of Hamilton fans, you guys are snake bit this year.
What do you mean?
You're snake bit this year. Lots of bad luck.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Quarterback down.
I don't know. Well, I don't know what we're going to do, man. I really don't. I'm assuming that Kolaris will be back by Labor Day, but you know, how much in game mode can you be in if you know that long? But we'll see. Hopefully,
well, a little better.
Like they say, the real season starts after Labor Day, right? Or at Labor
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, absolutely. After
so,
the NFL.
People that don't understand that just don't understand CFL and how it works. But that's just the way
it
is.
Depends on how far behind you are.
Well, that too. But, you know, it's all good.
Well, all that matters as far as anything is concerned All that matters is that you make the playoffs in the CFL. That's all that matters.
Well, we better finish in second place if that's the case.
Yeah, well, you know, what's the whole season about? Seriously, what's the whole season about but to make the playoffs?
That's right, yeah.
Right? That's all the season's about.
Exactly. And then it's just one game on to the next.
Right.
Either win or go home.
That's right. And you know, that's what makes it so difficult and so, you know, interesting as a CFL fan is, you know, you spend the whole season going, okay, what's our record? We're this and that. And then it comes down to don't lose.
Yeah.
And that's when it really matters. Three games. That's all it takes to win a Grey Cup. You know, BC was, 8-10 one year and won the Grey Cup. You know, it's not about playing well all season, but still though, before people start misunderstanding what I'm about to say, what I'm saying, that doesn't stop me from enjoying each and every game. It just means that, you know, there's a reality in sports and the reality is you make the playoffs and then you kick ass. That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Right. Yeah, I was yelling at my TV just as much as I was at the first game, man, at that last game,
right.
You know. So
right.
It doesn't matter what game, I still want them to win, but, you know, I don't care if we're 10-0, man, I still want you to be 11-0. You know?
Well, that's why you don't worry about, you know, I don't get my panties in a knot, you know.
Exactly.
There's no point. Yeah. There's no point.
After
so,
a while, when
we
get old and
we
reasonable, we understand that.
Do you think we succeeded in deadening Christopher Jones's gleeful moment, or what?
Oh, man, BC, BC, they won that game hands down, you know. They deserved it. Ricky Wade looked like crap. I'm sorry, man, but, you know, I don't know what it is, whether or not they jinxed him, saying he was the number one guy at the first of the season or whatnot, but Ricky Ray is not looking like Ricky Ray. I'm sorry.
He's getting no protection. It's not his fault. He's in the grass all the time.
He doesn't have any receivers.
No.
That's another problem. And you know, he had his go-to guy this past game. And I had to remind myself, I'm looking at the news and I'm going, wait, Jay Barnes was back? He was back?
Yeah.
Where was he?
When's
you know?
Guy Baby Owens coming back?
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, he's always, that's the nickname that us Ticats give him, but, okay, when's Chatty Baby come back?
My Baby Owens. Ever since he was MOP, I don't think anybody's taken a bigger beating than he has, and I haven't seen him whine about it. He's pretty good about it. You know, there's no quitting that guy. Ask him, he'll tell you.
I believe you.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, I'll agree with him, too, by the way. Just want to make that clear.
But, when's he coming back?
Labor Day. Yep.
Yeah.
Probably Labor Day. And Manasseh snuck in. Welcome, Manasseh.
Welcome.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
And also,
hey,
okay, we've introduced everybody. We've got one person left, and it's I Don't Give a Schmidt. And
Stormy.
There's a storm.
Yeah, and one stem.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
your storm came to town.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Generally speaking, later we'll talk about. I want everybody's opinion on the new uniforms because I find that for the most part, nobody's happy with the new uniforms. Like,
you know, see that one I put up on my wall? I think might be ours.
I haven't seen yours. What does yours look like?
Officially seen it either, but I was. I saw someone post a picture of something, so I went to that store, and they got a sports store in Hamilton. But it's an authentic CFL jersey. If you go on my wall, if you belong on my Ticats wall, I put it on there. And I think it might be it, just minus the numbers. But I think
Let
the numbers will be, yeah.
Well, okay, why don't we start with talking about the unis? Let's start. Now that we're in, we'll continue, and then we'll talk football. So do you like the uniform? If it becomes the actual, you know, signature Reebok.
I do. And I like Saskatchewan's, too. The only ones, actually, I don't like, I'm sorry, is Toronto. I just don't like the A. I wish they used a different emblem, that's all. I like the colors, but I just don't like that A. It just reminds me too much of Elvin. I don't know, like you said. Because you're the one that brought it up, right? And that's what
it's true. It's
it is.
True.
It is.
Reminds
so
me
I just
of,
wish
it
came out with a boat logo or even the profile picture of your Viking dude, whatever you want to call him.
The Viking
reminds dude? Me of reminds me of Acadia Axemen. They have a similar
yeah.
A on all of their gear. Yeah.
I've never heard of them.
Have you guys gone to the CFL Instagram page?
No.
No.
If you go there, they have the reactions. Like, they did a little sneak preview, and they had each guy from each team, you know, react to what the uniforms look like without letting you see it. And what you notice is it goes in order from worst to best. For example, like, when they started out, they showed Rob Bagg's reaction, and he barely – you could tell he wasn't impressed. Then they showed Andre Dury, and he was kind of like, okay. Same with Henry Burris, wasn't too impressed.
Boy.
And right, but I'm saying their reactions progressed because when they showed Brian Bulk from Hamilton, he was floored.
Yeah.
Right. Jason Vega liked what Winnipeg had, and then Oliver Bruyette from Montreal was really liking what they had. So Reebok introduced these jerseys from the worst that they had, and then they're just progressing, and it's going to get better as it goes. I'm hearing Hamilton is the best. Hamilton
Someone
and Montreal
put out
are like
today.
Hands down.
Yeah,
yeah.
They
showed the Winnipeg
showed their helmet.
Yeah, they showed their helmet. It's supposed to be the
yeah, it's
what
all
is
camo.
It, sky,
like yeah, it's like blue and gold and white with like army camouflage.
Actually, you know what? Cool. It's double blue, is it not, Manasseh? It's got that light powder blue and then the navy blue.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that bugs me because that's more Toronto than it is Winnipeg. You know,
because they're gonna still have the gold on the sleeves. You know how they have that gold like
right.
end. So it's going to be that, and then what they do, all the parts that they wear blue on, they're just going to put the blue and the double blue camo. So it might look kind of weird, I think. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I think the helmets
we'll
are nice, at least.
I don't think it can get much worse than the Saskatchewan ones, and I'm not even saying that I hate them. I'm just saying that, you know, they kind of missed the mark a little bit. They didn't miss the mark on the theme, but just on the design, I think... Somebody must have told them, like, we want kind of an Oregon Ducks, kind of Seattle Seahawks thing, and they tried to do it, but the colors just don't lend themselves to that type of a design.
Well, just like with the Argo uniforms, you could change the T, change the A to a T, and it looks like the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Never thought of that, yeah.
Have you guys seen the Red Blacks with the plaid helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was
those
looked
terrible.
I don't know what it is. Is the CFL trying for pajamas for youngsters?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
A lot
I
of
like
uniforms
that, Frank.
Like pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
I like that.
I want my jammies, Daddy.
So do you guys still think that BCs are so far still the best?
Yes.
The ones that
I think Hamilton's going to look a lot like BC. They're going to have a yellow
outline. I heard Hamilton's going to have like a black, and then the gold is going to shine. Like I don't know if you've seen the Baylor Bears helmet from college football.
That'd
where it's got
nice.
Like that really shiny gold. Yeah, I think they're going to go with that kind of look.
Like almost like a foil, Manasseh, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I plan on getting one. And
if you look at the sneak pick from the Calgary helmet that was on the CFL Facebook page, I've got it posted on Let's Talk. But it's you get like 2 seconds of the top of the helmet, and it's this beautiful, beautiful crimson-like color, and very shiny, very very metallic-like. All one color, no camouflage garbage in there or anything else. And It really looks sharp. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Calgary uniforms are like. If they can keep up with what that helmet was, that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Storm, talk to me about this.
Yeah, you ain't done no parade. But the Storm, that's okay, though.
I've seen the whole thing, so that's something I have to keep secret. And, yeah, you guys will love it. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. But it depends on, you know, who. If you don't like the Calgary team, you just don't like Calgary, you don't care about the uniforms, whatever, but I think it's the best
so far. Can you tell us, are they going to go back to red and white, or they're still going to use a lot of black?
I can't say.
You can't say?
He's having
a disclosure. What do you mean you can't say? Excuse me. I think I'll call a radio show and I won't say anything.
Everybody on Facebook, there's a handful of people and that know what it looks like, and I just can't. I just can't go there. But I just, honest to God, I just want to stay just because I love Calgary. They're awesome, that's in my opinion.
Okay. Can I ask you, as a Stamps fan, don't you feel like the Stamps should go back to, like, red and white, more of that than, because they seem to go all red and black now, and I don't know, doesn't make sense when you have a team called the Red Blacks now.
Yeah, well, they're popping Calgary then.
I thought Calgary's colors were always red and white.
They were.
Red
they
and
are.
White.
They're
all
teams,
red
right?
and white with black trim.
Oh, okay. Because when I see, like, the old, you know, the vintage stuff, they're always wearing red and white. I don't see them ever wearing black, and it just seems like
a lot of sports teams love the color black because they feel that it wins. I know that sounds stupid, but...
It's a dominant color.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You know, everybody puts, you know, everybody puts black in their, like, everybody's putting black in their uniform.
Here, Frank, you've asked us if we like our uniforms. I'll just tell you whether or not the fans in BC like the uniforms. They've gone to buy them. They have been sold out four times since the release of the jerseys. They cannot keep them in stock. And they've doubled and tripled their orders, and they still sell out. So BC is eating up this new jersey. We love it. Whether Saskatchewan's going to sell out theirs is another story. I think they will just because of Saskatchewan. But
the irony I find, and Kelly, I apologize, but it is ironic. I'm following the fans' reaction to the Saskatchewan uniforms, and the biggest complaint I heard repeatedly, the one I heard the most, was, the helmet looks too much like a watermelon. Yeah, so?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, isn't that
so?
What they wanted?
You know what? It's
a pickle head. It's not a watermelon.
Yeah, it is officially wheat cheese, but the word is that it's supposed to resemble the watermelon, of course. And, you know, the watermelon, you guys can laugh or do whatever, but something we take pride in here. And one thing about those jerseys, I heard today that we've already sold 4,800 units. That doesn't mean necessarily picked up or anything. Some of them have been on cflshop.ca, but 4,800 units already sold at, what, $2.59 a piece?
Wow.
You know
what, Kelly, don't misunderstand my comment. It has nothing to do with me not liking the watermelon. My reaction, my laughing, is at the fact that there's Saskatchewan fans who don't like the watermelon look.
I know,
I find humor. That part
for
I found
sure.
fun. Funny.
Well, I think figure out whether it looks like a solar panel or a highway sign.
Oh, come on, Chris. That's a little too
solar
much.
Panel. Or it looks like a fly's, or it looks like a fly's eye, you know, with all the dots.
I think a fly
has a million eyes.
They missed the mark on that. You know what? They had the opportunity to really score big with Saskatchewan. They would have sold a million of these things if they came out with something awesome. They still might, but I doubt it. But
I disagree. You know what? In the long term, you know, it's very easy. The knee-jerk reaction by most fans and people about anything new is they don't like it. That's the knee-jerk reaction. Give it time to settle in. And you know what? I love the color of the Argos jersey. Will I buy the white? I'm not a fan of white. I prefer the road jersey. Or, sorry, the home jersey.
Let's just make clear. Christopher makes a wicked point, actually, and I agree with him fully, but let's make clear who they are. And when he says they, he means Reebok, not the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We had about probably 10 minutes of phone input to Reebok, and then from there it's out of our hands. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the designers of these jerseys. They're the designers of all of them. And the team's had very little input from what I understand.
But there wasn't there the jerseys that came out last? Weren't the players, didn't the players pick out, the way, the hats. That was the hats the players did, wasn't it?
Yeah, baseball caps.
Yeah. So there is input there, but it's interesting to me. It's just interesting that as a as a league. They made a big deal of them coming out. They're doing a great job of the way. I like the way they planned to do it. And if Manasseh's right, you know, that's good too. Why not start with the worst and end with the best? I mean, it only makes sense, right? You always remember, it's like in hockey, they say, always remember the last shift, you know,
or in football,
the last pass.
They started with the BC jersey because they wanted to know what the opinion or the reaction would be across the league or within that town. And they hit the mark with that jersey, so they turned around and went back and said, okay, we're going to do it for everybody now, and because that was just a test market. And then they came out with this year's with the other eight teams, and, yeah, I don't know. There's a few of them that have missed the mark.
Right.
Yeah, well, we'll find
have
out.
Have you seen the interview with there's a VP of business from the CFL's head office. He was talking about, like, the Argos had to go with the white, the away colors, because the whole point is they wanted to showcase the Labor Day Classic with Hamilton and Toronto for the Southern Ontario market. They wanted people to tune in, see the new stadium, see some new modern-looking uniforms, and they were trying to rebrand. They call it the new modern CFL. And they were sort of like the whole idea behind it. That's what kickstarted in the beginning.
Right, and the other thing that I want to mention, too, is some fans are saying they can mix and match these third uniforms with previous incarnations and whatnot else. You know, the pants in Saskatchewan have gotten a really good review, as have the socks. So maybe they wear the charcoal gray pants and the gloves and the socks with the normal green jerseys.
Yeah, they could
and the
that.
Normal and the normal white helmet maybe, or whatever.
Yeah, that would work.
The pants work with the Saskatchewan with the new Rider uniform. The pants work.
Yes.
The helmet does not. The helmet does not.
No.
You know why don't the BC Lions just scrap the orange and white and like just go with the black as their normal, you know, like their standard home uniform? I think we all agree it's a huge upgrade.
The downside to the third jersey or the black jersey for the BC Lions is everybody is having problems seeing the numbers and the names on the back. They changed the name from white to orange, and they made the orange stripe around the numbers bigger so to highlight the number on the jersey. And the announcers in the game on Sunday were still having problems picking out which player was which.
Because of the lack of contrast.
Yeah, the lack of contrast. So I think that there's going to be an evolution in the BC uniform. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I think it will change a little bit just because it's not working on for everybody. I mean, it was hard to tell the people apart. If I did not know my team as well as I did, I wouldn't know what was going on.
Right.
Or who was doing it.
So I guess you want to rate the jerseys. I mean, I mean BC's the first one was the best. They came across like I still refer to them as the Halloween uniform, but you know still you know because it looks kind of ghostly, not ghastly, ghostly. You know, they're the best. And at the bottom of the list, I think there's like a tie for. There's three teams that are tied. Not the best.
Can have a tie.
I don't think it's
a tie.
I think the Riders are down at the bottom, and then the Argos, and Ottawa is in second place right now. We've got four teams that have been announced, BC, Ottawa, Toronto, and Saskatchewan. That's my
Chris,
order.
You're putting the Plaid Ottawa ahead of Saskatchewan?
Yeah, so do I.
Of course I am.
I can't do that. Those
really?
Plaid helmets are hideous. At least Saskatchewan's...
I like them.
I
can play
like
checkers
better,
in my off time.
I don't know. I wear that stuff, so, you know, it doesn't look that bad to me.
But what about that gigantic R in the front? They did the same thing as the Argos with the big logo in the front.
No, because it's more of a logo. I don't like the logo on the front. That is definitely a problem with me, whether it's the A or it's the saw or whatever it is. That's not where it's supposed to be. But that being said, the saw looks better than the A does.
Yep.
And I don't like that pastel girly blue color.
Powder blue.
I mean, this is a man's sport.
Pastel girly color.
I loved it on the 1970s Chargers with Dan South. That was a great powder blue incarnation of a uniform, but definitely the Argos
just featuring so much of it, they definitely look a little like the Tennessee Titans or the Houston Oilers, which are both bad uniforms, in my opinion.
It's about the white. For me, it's the white. I don't like the white. If it's a signature uniform, it shouldn't be like, it's the reverse of the black, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
So I think we all agree, like, Toronto is probably the least creative of all of them. They seem like they're the most
that's
generic.
Exactly it. The least creative and the least, I don't know, impressive.
It's the least offensive.
Offensive?
If you're not an Argo fan.
you see the whole
really
the glass half empty.
The colors are off. The uniform's not really that bad.
No, it's not. I like the A. I don't have a problem with the A. But again, the white is the problem I have. Like, you know, it's like a T-shirt, for gosh sakes. Come on. You know, it might as well be
like,
a T-shirt.
But what about the helmets? They did like the most basic. They didn't do it. They're the only ones that didn't do something crazy to their helmets, if you notice.
Yeah.
They just have like a double pinstripe.
Well, maybe they're waiting
just,
for a new owner to make a decision on what it should look like. I don't know. Like, you know.
Can we talk about that later?
Yeah, we can. But let's finish talking about the unis, and then we'll talk about the games took place.
The unis is going to go over for several times because the last one's not being shown until September 7th, eh?
Good Lord.
Wow.
That long?
I think they'll show it before that, but they won't. Because they want fans to buy them, right?
Isn't that Montreal? Is this the last one?
No. Oh, yes, Calgary? I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's Montreal.
No, Calgary's is coming out, like, tomorrow.
It'll still be sooner than the Ticats are playing at Tim Hortons Field.
At where?
They're not playing on
Field
Night?
Well,
I thought
Tim
Hortons would be ready.
I've been hearing contrary to that. Bruce, I wanted to ask you all night. What have you heard? What's the latest? Is it going to be a go for Labor Day?
Well, they're saying it's going to be, but I'm saying no. Councilman Lloyd Ferguson came out last week, and he did an inside and outside tour, and all the washrooms on the west side are complete. They're waiting for, all the fixtures are ready to go into the east side, and they're saying that should take maybe a week. They still have several railings they got to put up. He said there's a 70% chance that we'll be in there, but that's just one man's point of view.
I don't know.
I'm going to go down there tomorrow, and I'm gonna do a walk around. But like a lot of people say too, you can walk around as many times as you want, but I can't see what's going on the inside. So it's tough to tell from the outside how much they actually have finished on the inside. But from what I've been told, the concession stands will not be ready. They're going to have, like, vendors, like, maybe they'll bring in food trucks or whatever. Who cares? I'm not there to eat food anyway. But on the other hand, I think the stadium should be 100% done before.
What about the lower bowl
seating? Out.
I heard the lower bowl seating isn't ready, isn't in.
No, it's ready. All the seats are in, as far as
I
know.
All the seats are in?
As of today, that I know of.
Oh, that's good. At least they got that. Then they should be all right.
But what I'm saying
I heard dressing rooms are not ready at all.
See, I never heard that.
That's pretty important.
And then if that's the case, the Cats move in next week, apparently, right? Because Coach Austin is known to go on record. I forget where I read it, whether I read it on a Ticat site or whatnot, but he's telling his team to be ready next week to move in. So I don't know if that means addressing. If what you heard might be untrue, I don't know. But my personal opinion, and a lot of people have come down on me because I'm such a big Ticat fan, is I don't think they should open it until it's 100% done. I don't want to walk in there, man, and see things gated off and fenced off. Like, you know, first impressions.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand, you're just being – I'm not being picky, man, you know. But that's just my side of it. I hope it's ready in time. You know, sure, I'd like to go to a game,
so then
but
you
man,
would,
I want it
so
all
then,
to be done.
So then, Bruce, then you would throw your support to what they did in Winnipeg. When they first got wind that the stadium wouldn't be ready, they just bit the bullet and said, forget it.
I think they should have
bit
the bullet a long
year.
Time ago. They knew this shit.
Well, but that's what I mean.
It's going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Winnipeg.
Yeah, no, I agree. They should just do it for next year.
what are they going to do? They're going to tell us next week that we're going to be – because what I think is going to happen is we're going to play this game at MAC. What they might do is they're going to push the game at MAC back to 5 o'clock. Right?
They might as well not play. They can't have the Labor Day Classic at Ron Joy Stadium again. That's going
to
be stupid.
We've had every game, though, so far, man.
They can't take it to the Rogers Center, so it holds another thousand people.
I agree with you too, though. It's like you open a stadium, you have a grand opening, 110%. The stadium's done. Period.
Well, everybody's going to see this, man. It's going to be on national TV. You know.
Labor Day Classic, man. This is like other than the playoffs and the Grey Cup. This is the week for the CFL, and for people to tune in, they're going to see McMaster Stadium.
They should hire more people at the Rogers Center to flip the stadium over overnight. Get it done, right? You know, instead of having 10 guys taking turf off.
I think it'd be great. There's nothing that I would get a kick out of better than watching the CFL pregame show and a guy in a scaffold pushing him by the
you know?
By the guy.
They can change it faster than
opening.
That. If they wanted to.
But, one thing, Bruce, is you watch all the games from Ron Joyce, and all of us are watching them on TV. They're terrible on TV.
Terrible.
The sound is awful.
It is.
The sound is pathetic.
Oh,
yeah.
It's terrible.
It doesn't even feel like a professional game.
Well, you know,
I
forget what it was, that one play where the coach threw the objection, and it was only like two flipping camera angles. I laughed at that, man. Right? Phyllis noticed that, too. She goes, that's one problem. There's not enough camera angles, you know.
Yeah.
So they only had two that they could go by.
When I was watching the game, it didn't look like a real CFL football field because of the camera angles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just looks so small, like it looks like states. I don't know.
And it doesn't look full, and it only sits like 6,500, and it didn't even look like they were 6,500.
But a lot of people are saying that. But if you go on, it was a sellout. But you know whether or not everybody went, that's a different story.
Oh, okay.
But the Ticats are saying there was 6,500 tickets sold. I find a lot of people too, though, Manasse. They hang out in the end zone, and they hang out in the beer tent. Right, because you can't have a beverage up at up in the stands, an alcoholic beverage, that is.
What?
Which is, wait, man, you know what? I'm not a drinker.
The University
of Hamilton, that's a flipping blessing, man. It is, man, to actually go to a football game and not worry about a drunk falling down steps on you and throwing beer on you. That's what Hamilton's all about, man. We're known for that. And, you know, it's nice not to see. You know, if you need a beer that bad, then, you know, whatever. But that's just my own.
Well, you know, should that
1 cent on that.
Ron Joyce Stadium is a great stadium for, you know, for university football. That's what it was created for. That's what it's intended for.
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's not, you know, we sit here sometimes because, you know, you watch, you know, you listen and you watch, you know, some of the stadiums like mostly Toronto, where there's a lot of empty seats, and it gives you this impression of the league's not top-notch. I mean, it is. Don't get me wrong. It's just the impression that's there. You know, you guys were talking about first impressions. Well, there's a lot of impressions that happen with the CFL that are negative, and it's not the fault of the game. It's not the fault of the teams. It's just the circumstances. So if you see it coming, I like what Winnipeg did. I'm unhappy for the Hamilton fans that they've got to spend a week-to-week wondering if they're going to get to go to the stadium.
Yeah, but you've got to remember too, Frank, buddy, that Winnipeg had another stadium that they could actually go play in the same city.
Right.
You know, we don't have that option, you know, because we're building it on the same turf, and which I'm all for. I don't want to hear this BS again, or it should have been built somewhere else. If it was built somewhere else, we wouldn't have the problems. Yeah, well, it's not, so get over that, right?
But it should have been built somewhere else.
Why?
Yeah, it should have been built at the Y.
I don't think so. I think it's heritage, man. It's all about heritage to me.
It doesn't matter where
that place has been in there, man. It used to be the Commonwealth Center before it became Ivor Wynne. It's got a lot of roots.
The
right?
problem,
Just
yeah,
the
but
soil.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Bruce. The biggest problem that Hamilton had, and the only reason why they're in this predicament, is because the footprint that is the new Hamilton Stadium is identical to the old one. There's no parking lot to build the stadium on next door. You know what I mean? There was no room. You know, so
no,
that,
I know,
that's
but
the
they,
biggest
they already
thing.
Had that.
That's the biggest
you know,
thing you had against
with Rogers
going
Center.
Against you.
You know, you got to poke in parking lots away from the stadium, which they've secured. You know, they've secured, like, I think it was six
different parking lots. No, you misunderstood. I'm not complaining about the parking. I'm not complaining
okay,
about the tailgate.
Okay, I misunderstood you then.
What I'm trying to say is that a lot of other stadiums have enough parking space that they could close the parking space to build a stadium and then right next door, as happens in the U.S. all the time with stadiums.
Okay.
They built it right next door, so that's why they don't have a problem, right?
Right.
Because
right,
they have, like everybody, like you guys have said, like a few of you have said, there's another option, you know, and yeah. And you guys had your backs up against the wall. I mean, I feel sorry for the situation. I don't blame anybody in particular.
I've been in this since day one. I blame the previous city council on all this, not the current ones, the previous ones. Because they're the
I
ones
thought it
that
was the, thought it was the TICAS season ticket holders that screwed everybody over. Weren't they the ones complaining, saying, we're not going to accept the stadium downtown. It's got to be up on the mountain in the suburbs?
No,
and that's
man.
What that's what forced the whole
they
thing.
They didn't give two schmitz what we thought. They didn't.
Because that's what Bob Young was saying. Bob Young was like, "Oh, all my season ticket holders saying they're not going to buy season tickets if the stadium's downtown," and that was the TICAT's whole. Unless he was just bullshitting and just
No. It's all about money, Manasseh. It's all about money. The best location, the best location was the one that would be the most expensive not to build, but to get rid of all the contaminated soil. That was the biggest problem they had to overcome. They couldn't go there. It was going to cost too much. They made a financial decision saying, we're going to spend as much money getting rid of all this contaminated soil, which I'm sure nobody wants to hear about or talk about. Otherwise, they would have been on the water.
Yeah.
Was that the mountaintop side, or you mean the downtown side?
No, the downtown one, the other side.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's a shame, because I don't know, did you guys see the what they were going to build in the downtown site? It was like a scaled-down version of the Indianapolis Colts Stadium with the whole roof, like a brick building with the glass sidings. Yeah, it was amazing. It would have been great.
Yeah. Oh, I would have liked it up on the mountain. They have a huge, huge spot up here. But I didn't want it at where Hutch's is down in the East End. Come on, you know, too congested down there. But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't even know why we're kind of talking about the stadium.
Well, only because it's important to some people. And I sit here in awe of listening to people say, it's going to open. Okay, we're not opening. You know, being in that position, it's just awful. It doesn't help, you know.
A lot of people
and your team
frustrated.
Is suffering. I think your team is suffering because, you know, quite frankly, there's a training regimen that a team needs to have. I don't care what anybody says. I blame a lot of the problems that you're having physically, your team is having physically, on the fact that they don't really have a place to really practice.
Yeah.
And you need that kind of stuff. That's important.
And you know what? You are 100% right, because I'm not going to mention names, but I've known of people that have talked to different players, and they've said the exact same thing. That does weigh on the players, especially the travel time that we have again this year going to Mac. You know, that takes up 45 minutes of their travel time, so that cuts 45 minutes off their practice, right? Because that's just the way it is. It's unionized, man. You still get paid once you're on that bus, right? Or whatever, practice time starts once you get on that bus. So that travel on the bus takes away from your actual practice time on the field. You know?
Yeah, and it does.
But you know,
you put everything together with the injuries, you know, with the new stadium, with the losing record. Can't blame fans for getting frustrated, but we just have to stay behind them because I bleed black and gold.
But you guys are going to win the Grey Cup, right? You know that.
We're going to finish in second, go to Toronto, kick them out like last year, and head down the Canadian Highway there and see you in B.C.,
The 401, the McDonald's Cartier.
Don't you remember 2011, how that played out? And it's almost identical to Toronto. I mean, to Hamilton's, right? Because 2011, the Lions started 0-5. They actually were 1-5 at one point. And then they opened BC Place, I think it was like late September, mid or late September. And as soon as they moved into their new stadium, it was like a huge morale boost. And it just kickstarted this momentum, and they just went on a run. And they carried it all the way to the Grey Cup. And I think the Hamilton will have the same thing once they get in their new stadium. And I think it'll just get things rolling once they get guys healthy again. And I still think the Ticats are going to the Grey Cup, even with all that's happened.
A lot of people think I'm nuts, but there's also going to be a crossover, so we have to finish and stuff.
Well, Bruce, you can still go to the Grey Cup. That won't change how people feel about you. They'll still think you're nuts.
No.
They'll still think you're nuts.
I know.
It's going to be an all-West. It's going to be an all-West Grey Cup.
Oh, no way. Oh, jeez.
First time ever.
It could very well be. There's no doubt that it can be. Every option's open this year, especially with the poor record that the Eastern teams are having. I mean, the crossover is going to happen. I don't think there's any doubt in it now. Even this early in the season, the crossover is going to happen. Finish first or second in the East, and you get a shot at the Grey Cup.
So only one team can cross over, or can two teams cross over? Just one.
Okay.
I was going to say. And not take home field.
Okay.
Even if you are.
That's right. And they don't get home field. And if there was more than one, there would be no teams in the playoffs from the East if the way things are going.
All right.
Yeah.
Toronto will hold their end. Toronto will take care of anybody in the Eastern Final. They have Owens and Dury, and they got all. Ray's got his weapons back. Come on, with home turf and everything inside the dome, the Argos will beat anybody who comes out of the West.
I don't know about that. I really think the Western
Crossover is a dream scenario at this point in the season for any of the Western teams, and I really believe that. And you know, you see in the NHL and the NBA all the time, teams failing for that number one draft pick. Well, you know, as this gets down to the wire, it's still tight. You got to wonder if you know, a team doesn't rest a guy or two in favor of that crossover.
Are you saying that Darian Durant is going to throw an interception and the look on his face, oh, my God, I threw an interception.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
That's not what I'm saying. Good race between third and fourth.
Why wouldn't you go for fourth place?
Honestly.
Let's face it. You know, you got to go through the two best teams in the West, or you got to go through the two best teams in the East. I mean, I'm going to take the two best teams in the East every day Sunday.
All right. Well, hey, you're underrating Toronto, guys. Let's not forget the last time Toronto had all their weapons. We had this conversation last week. As soon as
you tell a team that you'd rather play them, that's the curse. That's the biggest curse you want to ever do on yourself. Don't ever let the opposition know that you think little of them. Oh God, give me a poster, something to put on the bulletin board, please.
Really?
Thank you.
I mean, Kelly, didn't you remember week two when Saskatchewan went to Toronto? And we all thought the Argos were going to get blown out. That was the last game Ricky Ray had Chad Owens and Andre Dury. And when he had those guys,
true.
They had 400 yards, four TDs. They scored like 40-something points.
It's a good point. But if you look back in history, the Riders have played very favorably at the Rogers Center, mostly against non-Toronto opposition, the two Grey Cups. But anyways, I just think that, you know, we still stand a better chance against Montreal than Calgary, who would be absolutely booed out of town if they lost to us again, right, Storm? I mean, I just think that Toronto is a better option for us at this point anyway.
I think so, too. There's nothing I would enjoy more than
talking to Saskatchewan. Why would the Riders be afraid? Like, the Riders, if they get, because they're going to get Dressler back in a couple of weeks, because it's already been,
he's pretty much already going to be cut.
Yeah, he's out of Kansas City. He's going to be out of there in a couple of days, they said.
Yeah, and Mark Trashman said he's interested him in Chicago.
I don't know about that, man. They already picked up Chris Williams, and the Bears have pretty loaded receiving core. I don't know if they have. I'm just telling you
that Mark Trashman has said that if he is released, he is a person of interest to us.
Right, but that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, you know, if you look at practice
roster
numbers,
is not Dressler a free agent if he comes back?
Yes, he is. And think about this for a second, too. Let's exhaust all the options down south before we talk about him coming back. Like Christopher is saying, there's Mark Trestman. There's other teams that expressed interest in him before Kansas City signed him. So there's a few options out of the 31 other teams. And also consider this.
the practice roster players in the U.S. make $10,000 for 17 weeks. Okay? Now, these 17 weeks, that's $170,000 a year. He's going to get more than that in the CFL, and he's going to have playing time.
Right, exactly.
He's not going to stay on a practice roster.
I don't know if you listened to the sports case, Kelly, but they were talking to one of the Kansas City Chiefs beat reporters, and he was talking about when he met with Dressler after the game, and he said he walked up to Dressler, and Dressler was looking at his phone, and he was trying to figure out what's going on, and Dressler was trying to find out did the Riders win, and when the guy told it to him, he said Dressler was relieved, and he was happy. And he was like, he said the guy seemed more concerned about what was going on in Saskatchewan than what was going on in Kansas City.
Wow.
So to me, that lets me know where his heart's at. So he's going to be back with the Riders. You can guarantee that.
Right. Oh, for sure. No doubt in my mind.
Along with Corey Sheets, too.
Yeah, Corey Sheets will be back. I mean, once the Riders get their offense is going to be unstoppable, and nobody in the West is going to touch them. They're just going to blow through the whole Western Division. Edmonton... Calgary, I mean, you know, Schmidt, you remember last year what happened in the West Final. I mean, who are we kidding here?
That's last year. We're today.
Yeah, and they're even, I mean, think about it. Dion Chick is like, he looks like the Incredible Hulk out there just blowing through people.
Let's
remember, he trained with Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney. Two of the best rush ends in the game.
You say the same thing with Calgary, like once the corner comes back
Maurice Price.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can say that about every team, right?
I love the fact that everybody can make proof of a team being dominant. You know, it all year it's going to change. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Storm and I were talking about how wonderful a defense Calgary had, and all of a sudden Edmonton's just going crazy. You know. Racking up defensive points, if I can refer to them that way. You know, Saskatchewan came out of the gate. They looked like they were vulnerable. BC came out of the gate really slow. You know, I mean, guys, it's ebb and flow, man. And I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. It's the last three games you play in the year once you make the playoffs. Those are the ones that matter. And how healthy you are then and how prepared you are to win.
Right.
You know, that matters.
So who do you guys think will finish first in the West?
Calgary.
In the West? BC.
Yeah.
BC.
Yeah,
BC.
Come on, stop. BC. Edmonton. They're in the bottom right now. They're gonna make it to the top.
They're at the bottom? I'm sorry, they're one game. One game out of first place. They're at the bottom.
They're a game and a half. Because Edmonton and Calgary are 6-1 and BC is what, 5-3?
Who do you think is going to win the West?
I think it looks like probably Edmonton. I'm willing to go with them.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, they're 6-1, man. And they're dominant, though. When you watch them play, their defense is just unbelievable. I mean, you see tangible proof why. Like Tick Hamilton, right? I mean, Bruce, you saw when Hamilton played Calgary in Calgary. If they hadn't had that botched field goal at the end of the game, it would have been a tie game, went to overtime, and who knows? The Hamilton might have won it.
Yeah.
You know, Calgary hasn't shown, they haven't shown any dominant performance that says, oh, that team right there, they're a juggernaut. That's a team not to be dealt with. They haven't shown it once. All their games are like,
I'm not saying Calgary's
going
to make it. I'm saying BC's going to make it.
But
who
has showed a dominant presence out there? Not one of the teams has. Everyone
I think Saskatchewan has. I think Saskatchewan is starting to really. I mean, John Chick by himself is making a statement to the whole league. Like that
And so is Alex Bazzi.
Bazzi, come on. You can't even put those two in the same sentence. Who are you talking about?
You're putting Bazzi and Cam Wake in the same sentence. John Chick doesn't even hold a candle to him. So, you know,
I don't know about that. I mean, John Chick's on pace for, what, 27 sacks in a season?
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty incredible, man.
Bazzi got four tackles for losses in the game against Toronto last night, plus a sack. Now, tell me that a tackle for a loss is not as good as a sack.
No, a sack is better because you're hitting the quarterback. That's the added benefit.
Okay, so you hit the quarterback after the ball's gone. That's not a sack. But he stopped a player behind the line of scrimmage. That's as good as a sack.
No.
Right, but John Chick
no,
said
no,
it
isn't.
Same thing.
Of course it is.
You can ask any football player.
They'll
tell you it's not.
It,
because there's something about a sack that just gives momentum. It's like a jolt of momentum to the team. Because
well,
it just there's something about it. I don't know what it is.
Try it, Manasse. Try it a different way. Try it a different way. Who, you know, I agree with Chick being the best defensive player, especially you know coming off the line, because he strikes the most fear in people's hearts. I'm sorry, he's scary. I mean, he's scary. He's scary. I get what you're saying, Christopher. You're right. Very effective. The BC guys are effective. But I think what Manasse is talking about and what I'm going to say is that as an individual player, John Chick is dominant. As an individual, they're triple-teaming him and he's getting through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know what? We will see next Sunday.
But that doesn't mean isn't effective.
Yes, they're going to BC. Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
It'll
oh
be a great
my God!
You know,
the Lions, they got a butt whooping coming for them, man. I cannot wait. That's
if I were Christopher making a case for Bazzi, I wouldn't put it on a head-to-head matchup with John Chick because
no,
I believe our right tackle is better than your right tackle.
Good point.
On
I'm
offensive
not
line,
I'm not going head-to-head with John Chick. John Chick is the number one most dominant defensive player in the league today.
There you
Nobody
go.
Is going to dispute that. I'm not disputing
right.
that.
And
all I'm trying to say is that he is not light years ahead of everybody else.
No.
Ooh,
well, I would, you know, the difference, you know, we can make that point very quickly. I mean, is it because of him individually or the team that he's on and the line that he's working with?
Well,
you know,
Bob Dice has given a lot of credit to the other three guys that he plays with, and
exactly.
the fourth and fifth guy that rotate in. It's Ricky Foley, it's Darius George, it's you know Walker had a big play at the end of the game. He recovered the fumble. David Lee is having a massive year for the Riders. Scored a
you're welcome.
Fumble recovery, yeah, touchdown last week. So
right.
you know,
we could do the same with Khalif Mitchell and. Kareem Smith and Eric Taylor and Alex
sure.
Bazzi, the front
Absolutely.
Four line in BC is dominant. Bazzi's
yeah,
getting
the
press.
Best.
Chick is getting the press. That's all. It's
yeah,
the
well,
line.
He's
the
gonna
line
get
is
it. He's, gonna, he's in Saskatchewan. Of course he's going to get it. But, you know, where we split the, you know, where we begin to see the difference is on the same field. That's when it really matters. And as Kelly said, you know, your right tackle is better than our right tackle. Be great if it was one of them was a left tackle. Then we really get to see all above.
But you know, and just go look at your Solomon Elaminian and look at his tackles for this year. I mean, he is going to destroy J.C. Sherritt's record if he keeps going the way he is. Okay,
that's
so
a good point.
You know, if you want to take the group of seven players, I would take my BC seven over anybody in the league.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so as the overall defense, does BC have a better defense than Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I do.
The secondary.
Still doesn't matter. Edmonton beats them both.
Oh, I don't know about that, Frank. Because Saskatchewan's secondary is scary. Like Brackenridge and, you know, Terrell Mays and Rod Williams and Walden Brown.
I get that. But
they got some studs back there, man.
Let me put it this way to you. On the learning curve, where's Saskatchewan's defense and where's Edmonton's defense?
Well, that's a good point, too. Yep.
On the learning curve, where are they?
Saskatchewan's been under for like 2 years, right? With
exactly, we're at the top of the learning curve, and Edmonton's is like on the upswing, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, and you know, until a player or a team gets respect, they can begin to really improve a lot because they catch people by surprise.
Yeah, that's the same thing right now. You look at BC secondary, and I know Manasse, you're going to laugh hysterically. But this is a first-year defensive coordinator that we got with three new players in there, and they are lighting it up. Okay?
Yep. Oh, what's going on?
Okay, who's leaving?
Someone got hung up.
Me.
I mean.
Right.
I'm checking.
Shut the mic down so they can bring him back.
It's Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's Kelly.
Okay.
I'll call him.
Yeah,
back.
I mean, look at Ronnie Yell. He's two pick sixes in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's okay. Pretty. That guy's pretty phenomenal. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Cord Parks is a phenomenal shutdown man. You know what? Dante Marsh is going to miss two games in a row. We might not miss him.
Yep. Didn't Ronnie Yell? Was he the one that replaced him out there, or was it that number 17? The new. I forgot that kid's name.
Well, T.J. Lee took over for Ronnie Yell, and Yell took over for Dante Marsh.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was.
So if Dante comes back, they're going to move back, and T.J. goes back to the practice roster. But that may or may not happen, right?
Right. I mean, he held his own, because in that game against the Argos, the Ricky Ray was throwing his way the whole game. They kept testing him.
And he held up his
– yeah, he did a great job.
So, you know, I think you are underestimating BC's defense right now.
Well, no, it's not necessarily their defense. It's more, I'll say, the offense has got that learning curve still going, right? You know, with Kari Jones and, right. And it comes down to when do you think Lule is going to be back and, like, be the full-time starter? How many weeks?
Oh, he's got another 4 weeks before he's going to take center for sure.
Okay.
I mean, he'll be, did you see him play? He does not have game speed yet.
Yeah, he looked like he was the first time playing in a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to take him a couple of weeks before he gets up to speed in doing that. I'd be surprised. I mean, unless Kevin Glenn can't play because he is one hurting unit.
Right.
You know, I don't see that happening. Right now, I think if Kevin Glenn can't go, John Beck's going to start.
Oh, wow.
I don't think you could potentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, we got to play Saskatchewan. You know, you got to do the best you can. I really hope Kevin Glenn's playing.
Well, I mean, at least as long as you guys can run the ball, though, that's all that matters, right? As long as either Logan or Harris are putting up the numbers they are,
Harris is coming back. Harris will come back, and Logan will be there, and we'll probably put Tim Brown back on the practice roster, unfortunately. Because that's racial implementation.
I love Tim Brown. Chris, can you help me out here? They were mentioning him as a non-import. He's a Canadian, isn't he?
No,
he's,
okay.
They,
he is
the rule change. The rule change they made. Now they refer to them as nationals and internationals.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was a Canadian.
Tim Brown is not a Canadian. He's an American.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well.
See, so
he's a great returner, man. You guys should have him out there more
Ricky
often.
When Ricky Schmidt, our punter, got hurt, and he's an American on his scooter accident, and he was taken out, and Paul McCallum took over both kicking duties, we were allowed to bring in another international player. We put Tim Brown back on the roster. Right now we have Andrew Harris out, okay? And they had to switch some people around so that they could activate Tim Brown.
The ratio.
Right. Speaking of that, how old is Paul McCallum, by the way? What is he, like 45?
34. No,
he's
sorry,
34.
No way.
42,
he's
got to
be at least like 40-something. I know that. He's got to be.
I'm 42, I believe.
69.
110. I like
that number. Is he like the oldest player to ever play in the CFL?
No, he's 44 right now.
Well, Russ Jackson. Never mind.
Louis was 49 when he retired.
Yeah.
Who was 49 when they retired?
Louis Pisaglia.
Louis Pisaglia.
Our kicker before Paul McCallum.
Yeah, he was.
He only had two kickers in 40 years.
So it's Anthony Cavillo. Yeah. Anthony Cavillo is the only non-kicker who played past the age of 40. Then, right?
No, Damon Allen.
Oh, Damon Allen. Yeah, that's I forgot.
That's 42, a joke.
I think
we bring
Damon
back
Allen.
Casey Printers.
You said bring back Casey Printers.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay,
but anyways, on that note, gentlemen, I am
going
to have to leave you for this evening. It's been a pleasure, as always, Frank, and Christopher, and Manasseh, and Storm, and whoever else we have out there. And
Kelly.
And Kelly. I said Kelly. No, I didn't. You got hung up, though, right? Yeah, Kelly.
No worries.
And all the radio listeners and the CFL fans out there, have a great night and Oski Wee Wee to everybody. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
And hopefully you'll eventually get to see a game in your home stadium.
We will.
Yeah, maybe
you on Labor Day, buddy. You coming down?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I you know, goodness gracious, it's just terrible. Terrible, terrible. I want to go to the new stadium.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's neither here or there. It is what it is.
That's right. That's another show.
That's a whole nothing.
That's it, buddy. Okay, man. Okay. Everybody have a great night, and we'll talk to you Wednesdays. Have a good Tuesday. Bye.
Enjoy the
film.
You
too, Bruce. Later.
Okay. So there's a...
Can I just interrupt for a sec, Chris?
Sure.
Manasseh,
sure.
Are you going to Banjo Bowl?
Yes, I am. Are you going to be there?
Oh, I am going, man. We got to hook up
awesome.
For one.
There we go.
Yeah.
You got your tickets already?
Yes, well, I'm going. I won tickets last week courtesy of The Wolf, the radio station here. And basically what we do is show up at noon, bus to the game, watch the game, and then bus home. But halftime all to hook up with you and Derek and anybody else that's there from Winnipeg that wants to
definitely.
Get together. So
that'd be great.
Yep.
Plus, after the game, they have they let fans come down on the field for like an hour or so and just hang out. So we can definitely
we'll probably have to do that for a little bit, even though we're going home. I mean, it'll just make it 2:30 in the morning instead of 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Right, right. That's cool, man. Great, man. Do you know what part of the stadium you guys are sitting in?
No, I don't yet. So I'll have to message you on Facebook and get you all the details as soon as I know.
Cool, man. Awesome.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, then we'll come back and talk about all the football games that took place this week. And I got to talk about how the Argos did, or didn't.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, well, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go, I'm going to go. Go, 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 go.
There you go.
Ooh. Get out of there. Get out of there.
You got it.
That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy.
CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know. I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later, Mark, see you later, Tim, see you later, and he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it, and I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
All right, so there were 5 games played last week. We talked about the Blue Bombers-Argos victory on Wednesday because the game was played on Tuesday. So we'll pick up after that and start with the game in Ottawa with the Edmonton Eskimos visiting. It was more like the Edmonton Oilers, the Ottawa Senators, than it was a football game, 10-8. It was a high-scoring hockey affair. Edmonton's defense... I'm sorry, they keep getting better and better. And what I really like about their team is the enthusiasm that their defense plays with. I love the somersault. I think it's hilarious. It's not something you're going to see in the NFL. They really are dominant. And when the season began, I mean, we knew Chris Jones was going to Edmonton. We knew the defense was going to be good, but I don't think we knew that the defense would be this effective this quickly. And not that Edmonton wouldn't have had a record like they do, but I would have thought personally, it was because of Riley's quarterbacking skills that would have helped them to get such a good record because of last year's close calls, much like Hamilton this year losing, you know, what, by 14 points in 3 or 4 different games. So, you know, it's all about the team, and I like what Edmonton did. I think Edmonton is full value for what they've done. My disappointment is with Ottawa, and it's been a month now that they finally figured out, I think, that they need help at receiver, and Burris cannot be as great a quarterback as he can be without the right receivers. We'll start with you, Kelly. What did you think of that game in Ottawa? You know, I know Edmonton's a Western competitor for you. What did you think of the game?
I thought it was awesome. I was pulling for, much more offense, obviously. It was not necessarily the most exciting in that way, but I'm not opposed to a defensive battle, and that's what we got that night. Came out hitting and didn't stop throughout all four quarters, and I thought the special teams played well on both sides of the ball. I thought Edmonton just edged them out on offense, and Ottawa, they had a chance there, and it's really good for them to be competitive with a team like Edmonton. I mean, think about their confidence going into next week. Like they really have to be on a high, even doing what they did.
I don't disagree, but I think a lot of times it hurts teams when they lose close ones. It also helps them stop slides, and hopefully you're right. Ottawa has been a minor disappointment this year. I think most of us would have thought they would have had a better record, but then again, they're just moving along at the same pace that most of the rest of the East is traveling. So, you know, it isn't that big a surprise. How about you, Storm? What do you think of the Edmonton-Ottawa as an Edmonton resident against Ottawa?
Well, it wasn't too bad of a game, but, a little bit boring. But, Ottawa should have won. And I feel bad for Burris. I really do. Like you said about the receivers, dropping balls. My God, it's just like, when is it going to stop?
Well, they must have the biggest balls in Ottawa because they're too heavy to hang on to, I think.
Oh.
But a bump bump.
How about
you, Manasseh? What did you think of that game? I mean, defense, I know how much you love defense, and defense wins championships and all that stuff, right? So defense isn't a bad thing in football. It's a great thing in football.
Yeah, true, definitely. Yeah, I totally agree with Storm, what he's saying, and it just comes down to Burris just doesn't have the weapons, and the fact that he had one guy dropped a touchdown pass, and the biggest play I think was Matt Carter when he had that fumble at the end.
Oh, geez.
Which basically killed them, because they would have been in field goal range, and they might have been able to run the clock down, put it away. So it's a sad one, man. But Ottawa, like you said, they got a defense. They have something positive to hang their hat on, which is to say something. But what can you do? They're an expansion team, so this was sort of kind of expected.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Christopher?
Yeah, it wasn't an overly exciting game, but it was good defensive battle. I really thought Edmonton would have done a better job in doing this. I think Ottawa really has to hold their head high with their performance in keeping Edmonton off the score sheet quite so much. It was a good game. It was just kind of, low-scoring. What Canadian League football games are not that good. If this weekend, this whole weekend of all the games, is what the Americans looked at it to find out whether or not Canadian football was to watch, it's no different than any NFL games. It was
good point.
Kind of boring.
Yeah.
So that was my take on the game.
How about? Okay, we hit Manasseh. No, Manasseh.
I did already.
Yeah, okay.
Just one quick thing here before, I don't want to interrupt, but Justin Bartolet has just been traded from Ottawa to Saskatchewan.
Who?
What the heck?
The kicker.
Wait, who? Josh Bartel.
No, Justin.
No.
I can't
Bartolet.
Pronounce his last name. Bartolet.
Bartolet?
Bartolet.
Wait, so he's traded from Ottawa to Saskatchewan?
He's a place kicker for the Ottawa Red Blacks, and he has just been traded to Saskatchewan.
So they're not.
Oh,
they're not
Chris Milo's about to get cut. Then
that's
what
right.
was about.
They're not
well,
happy with
no, he's about to get pressured, and I was hoping that it would be Tyler Kropinia, the guy that Rob talks about all the time, the graduate of the Calgary Dinos. It's inevitable. I mean, I'm glad, Christopher, that you were able to announce that, because that's the first I've heard of it. And who went back the other way? Do you know?
I haven't found that out yet. There's about four or five people on Twitter right now, including Rod Peterson, that is saying that he's on his way to Regina.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to have to say that it's Brendan Talman just picks up Winnipeg players, right? He's just picking up his old guys.
Right.
So, or at least he knows what he's got.
Or getting.
So, yeah, about four or five people have announced it on Twitter. I'm trying to hunt it down in a legitimate thing like Sportsnet or TSN or somebody, but I haven't found that yet.
You have to remember about Milo. Milo has had two good years in Rider Green and two bad years, this included, as a second bad year. And, you know, Manasseh said, oh, he's going to get cut. Well, it's not that far from that, really. I just think that they're going to have them both on the roster for this game, and then I think they'll probably drop one off the roster for the next week, and then you'll see him released, probably.
Milo.
Whichever one.
Possibly.
If I'm not
mistaken, isn't Bartolet the guy with that massive beard?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he fit in well with the personality of the Ottawa Red Blacks. I mean, nothing says lumberjack more than a long beard.
And the other thing that I'm going to touch just before I found something else on Facebook here is that the Ottawa Red Blacks helmet is being compared to the Bay City Rollers.
Bay City Rollers.
I thought that was funny.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, they did. Yeah. They were big on tartan, that's for sure. They were big in tartan.
Yeah.
So, did everybody get a chance to talk about our first game, Edmonton and Ottawa?
I think we're done there.
Right. Yep. So let's move on to Calgary and Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton is just—they're just the second coming of Edmonton last year, finding ways to lose late, and you know they seem to make a nice comeback and then they fall flat on their face. This is tough, and to me, this is the kind of stuff, when I refer to conditioning and practice facilities, you know, this is when preparation for games really starts to catch you, you know, is the waning, you know, football is such a physical game. You know, this is why I have this thing about these short weeks. It's such a physical game, it takes so much out of you, and to recharge takes a lot. And Hamilton looks like they're struggling to play 60 minutes, you know. And Calgary, you know, Calgary, again, and I agree with Manasseh, and no offense, Storm, but Calgary's been pretty lucky with who they've played and how the teams have played against them. But I got to give Calgary a lot of credit for how they make the other team look. It is their defense. But if any team decides to rile up a bit of offense against Calgary, it seems you know, Hamilton did for a second, and a weak Hamilton team scared the crap, as far as I'm concerned, scared the bejesus out of Calgary. You know, Hamilton almost made a comeback, and they just ran out of gas, and too bad for them. Manasseh, you go next here.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with everything you said, Frank. And it's just, you know, Hamilton, it's so sad. You know, Lefevre, I believe he's injured for the year now. I think he tore his ACL.
Oh, God, I know.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Man, I know. It's crazy. I feel, you know, I know they're your rivals and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, they had such high hopes, and they seemed like they were going to have a great team, and for this to play out the way it has, the only saving grace they got is they're in the East, and they still have a chance. I think they're only a game out of first, right?
No, two.
For goodness sake, you'll be able to catch up.
Regardless. They're tied for second.
Regardless, though, you know, the victories, the amount of victories, the difference between last and first, like the West, is not that much, you know? So, you know, while the East is looking kind of weak, it's still not weak just in part of the East. It's the whole East, right? It's all relative. So, it just seems harder for the East to win a game, right?
If one team goes on a three-game tear, they're in first place.
If the Argos would have beat BC last week, in another week or two, they could have clinched first.
The way
things are. I don't mean to be. I'm intentionally trying to be funny, because that's essentially. You're 100% right, Christopher. If a team gets on a run, if the other teams don't, they'll run away.
Yeah. And it's not unrealistic.
No, it's not. You know, well, we'll see. You know, the patterns change, right? Okay, so Christopher, what did you think of the game?
I'm really disappointed with the lack of production from Calgary. Same with the lack of production with Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and for the most part, BC. These teams are just not coming to play ball, and Calgary wasn't there. I mean, if that was they brought that weak ass shit against somebody else in the Western Division, they would have lost. And they were just lucky, and as you said, fortunate that they're playing Hamilton, and they got a win out of it. And a win is a win is a win is a win. We all know
time.
That, right?
Yeah.
And we're lucky that, and they're lucky they got one, because Hamilton could have taken them out that day. And bad for them, but you know.
You know, Chris, isn't that the problem, that sometimes teams play to the level of their opposition, and isn't that the biggest concern you have when you're such a dominant team and you can be dominant?
BC does that all the time. It annoys the hell out of me. Saskatchewan will blow out Winnipeg 40-0, and we'll beat them by a field goal. It's the same team. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
BC always plays down to the level of the weaker team, and it's scaring me. Right now, the entire West is doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. They are. Yeah.
It's frustrating as hell. But, you know, if BC and Calgary play, it's a damn good game. If BC and Saskatchewan plays, they're a good game. But BC plays an Eastern team, and it's boring. Saskatchewan play or Calgary plays an Eastern team, and it's boring.
Well, as
you know,
far as I'm concerned, you know, well, we'll talk about Toronto and BC down a piece. How about you there, Storm? Calgary, great victory. You have to be happy with the win.
Oh, of course I'm happy with the win, and I feel bad for Lefebvre because I said he should have started at the beginning of the year, but that's just the way stuff goes, and that's football. But, I still think Bo Levi Mitchell did a good job. He's got a great arm.
9-1.
I think he could throw the ball that far, but for that touchdown. But, no, I thought it was a good game. That's, you know, put me on my toes a bit, but... You know,
it did, didn't it? Hamilton looked like they might be able to pull it off.
Well, and that's why you know, I feel bad for Lefebvre going down, right? I mean, it's just one of those freak things and that happened and stuff like that. And
team has to deal with it, right? We all have to deal with injuries. That's just part of the game, right? It's just a shame that they're losing two starting quarterbacks, even though, you know, that's the tough part for Hamilton is where... You know, it's when you get creamed in the same position, that's when it starts to get a little death-defying, you know, almost. Kelly, couldn't resist. Kelly.
Guys, I didn't really see a whole lot of this game, I'll be honest. Caught the last few minutes, and so I can't really say a whole lot except to piggyback off of what Chris said and just saying that, you know, Calgary got lucky, and hopefully they can, you know, bounce back for their fans at home. Yeah, that's about it, guys, because, like I say, I didn't see a whole lot, so I'll refrain.
No worries. How about the Saskatchewan game? Did you take time to watch that game?
I sure did.
There you go.
I watched it a couple times.
You watched that twice.
And,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that one was good. Are we moving on to that one?
Yeah, you'll be the first one.
Okay.
On
that one. Yeah, I was really, you know, pleased with the defense, obviously, and I thought for a minute there, if you guys saw Tyron Brackenridge flying around, I thought he was, you know, playing very reckless with his helmet, and I was nervous for a few minutes there. Thought he might take a couple dumb penalties. I think the officials actually missed one on him. What can you say about John Chick, though? I mean, we've talked about him a little bit, so I'll steer clear of that, but definitely want to give a heads up to Derek Walker, who sealed the deal for us in the fourth, and to Rob Begg, who shows his, you know, maturity with Durant and just the relationship that they've built over the years, and scores our only major, and... yeah, really happy with the play of the defensive backs as well, as usual.
Are you ready for number three, Manasseh? A guy with the name John Chick has to grow up tough, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. But, again, the Riders' offense, guys, it's like watching paint dry. I know I keep saying it, but seriously, it was so bad. I don't know. I can't watch Rider games. They're hard to watch because it's... I love defense, but I need to see something on the offensive side of the ball. Otherwise, it's hard to stay awake. And
yeah, you have to admit the running game that Saskatchewan has. They've got some really talented running backs, and they're just amazing in how they can churn the yards. That's probably
yeah,
why
absolutely.
They're so boring. That's why they're so boring, because they can go to the run more than anybody in the league right now.
Yeah, that too, and because they know that physically they dominate teams at the line of scrimmage. So the Riders basically know, hey, we don't have to play a finesse game. We don't have to throw the ball, and we can just just physically dominate you and just crush you at the line. And that's, if I was them, I'd do the same thing. But just from a entertainment standpoint, that's not the best football to watch.
Well, you're right. They're the one team that doesn't have to impress their fans. All their fans care about is if they win.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's just
right.
They're like the Leafs, right? Nobody really cares how they play as long as they win. That's what happens when you have a big crowd behind you. How about you, Storm? What do you think of the game between Montreal and Saskatchewan?
I didn't really see too much of it doing the grad film thing again. But I seen highlights.
No worries.
But I can't really say really anything about the game. But
okay, that's fine.
With Saskatchewan, they lost, but it happens.
Christopher, what did you think?
Again, it was a boring game. It wasn't exciting in anyhow. It was a good defensive struggle, and they both played well, and everything else just happened along that way. And,
it was a no-fun league game, right?
It was a no-fun league game. I just want you to note that you said that Saskatchewan can run the ball at will, and nobody runs it more than Saskatchewan.
I don't mean the way your team runs the ball. Your
okay.
team runs the finesse. Like, it's exciting running. With Saskatchewan, it's, 8, 10 yards. And I think that's what Manasseh means by boring offense. It's not very, come on. You really think that I'm not impressed by the running game that BC can put forward?
It's 26 touches to 22.
Oh, okay.
Was the stat, right?
Oh,
so BC
had
just run the ball more.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, BC's running game is like a Ferrari
them.
And Saskatchewan
yeah.
is just like a bulldozer.
Exactly.
That was my interpretation
of Manasseh.
You get
Manasseh
on the ball, and he just moves forward. And
right.
It doesn't matter who's holding him, he just moves forward.
Right, he's like
that's
a bowling ball. He just knocks the pins down.
But it was the defense of both teams. I mean, I was actually impressed with the Montreal defense and how they played. Because they did. They kept that team in the game because there was no offense. Montreal
there was none.
There was no offense. I don't know what they did. Who was the quarterback? Who was doing anything? It was ridiculous.
Yeah, seriously, it was.
It was terrible.
I think all the talk about Darian Durant being a lead quarterback, I know I defended him when I used to argue with you, Chris, about it. I just want to apologize. Darian Durant is not an elite quarterback. I think we can all pretty much agree on that now, right?
Well, it depends what you consider elite. We can talk for about an hour about what makes a guy elite and what doesn't.
Darian Durant makes his games, his wins. That's all that counts is the W's. Okay, but
right.
he does
right.
it by the running game and by the short dump out pass. And the odd time stretch in the field, and when all else fails, he'll burn you with your legs, with his legs. Okay, so it doesn't make him an elite quarterback. It just makes him somebody. I don't like Damon Allen either, and they're very similar quarterbacks.
There's about six teams in the league that would be chomping at the bit to get Darian Durant, and
Kelly.
Allen.
No. I don't think there's six teams that would switch their quarterback.
Maybe three.
Yeah, I'd say three.
Maybe three. Because there's no way that you'll convince Ottawa that they don't have the quarterback preferred.
Or Edmonton.
Or
BC.
Toronto. Just keep going. There's just too many great quarterbacks. I don't want to offend Saskatchewan,
Hamilton.
But I wouldn't even trade him for Bo Levi Mitchell the way he's playing.
Good point. Plus, Bo Levi is only like 23, so
exactly. And there's the rub.
Yeah. Right.
I guess you don't want to win. Montreal
and Hamilton will take him in a heartbeat.
Montreal's probably the only team that would take Darian Durant.
That's not an insult on Durant.
No.
What everybody's saying here is there's a lot of – don't look at the negative here. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in the CFL, and Durant is one of them, and he's not at the top of the list. I mean,
right.
He's not at the top of the list.
What I'm saying is I am agreeing with that statement, and I'm saying all the guy does wins. And that's the most important factor, and I don't care what kind of a quarterback, what kind of an archetype he fits. I'm with him because he's a winner, and that's it.
Oh, but you know what? Then if that's the case, Ricky Ray is not a Hall of Fame quarterback right now. Right now. This moment.
Well, I mean, career.
No,
all
no,
one.
I'm,
he's
no,
like
because
Ray
I'm trying to make
Durant
the point.
Durant has a team. Ricky Ray doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not fair comparison.
Right now. That's right. That's all I'm saying. I'm not – hey, you guys know I love Ricky Ray. I got his jersey. That's the jersey I have. But, you know, a quarterback can only do so much, you know.
Right.
And they can do a lot with a little. I mean, I don't think Durant – if you put Durant in Toronto, we wouldn't have won a football game.
Yeah.
Oh, you would have.
I'm sorry.
He, you know,
no way.
No way. Who's he going to hand the ball off to? Who's he going to throw the ball to?
Listen, guys, there's nobody in this – that has saved their team's tail more than Darian Durant has right now.
Oh, I wouldn't go there, Kelly. Come on. You know your defense. Your defense is just –
damn,
you've
got a better team than that, Kelly. You got a better team.
You know, you guys remember when the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl back in 2000 and they had Trent Dilfer as their quarterback? I think that's who Darian Durant is. I think Durant just benefits from having this fantastic team around him. And it was Chris who was saying that last year, remember? And I was one of the ones arguing against Chris. And now in hindsight, he was totally right the whole time. Durant wasn't the reason they won. He was just a beneficiary of all the talent around him. You know?
But he's good enough to be a part of
You could have put anybody at quarterback, and that would have been it.
That's where I disagree with you. Darian Durant's a great quarterback. But I would not put him in the same category as a Ricky Ray. Sorry, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't put him in a Burris. I wouldn't. I know that he wins. That's great. He wins.
Frank, you could have taken any starting quarterback that we have in the CFL right now today, put him into Saskatchewan last year, and they would have won the Grey Cup. Totally.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
You know,
he's telling the truth.
I'll get on that train for a little while, but at some point, I'm going to say, you know, Mr. Conductor, reality, please. He's not an average quarterback, but he's not the best quarterback. That's right. So I'll disagree with you guys.
Well, I mean, Frank, think about what you're saying. Like, out of a 9-team league, where are you putting him? So you have it's 1 through 9.
4.
He can't be higher than 7.
No,
four.
I'm not even.
How could he be 4?
I'd put him 4th or 5th, and he would be medium in the CFL. Medium.
I don't know. I'm thinking. You'd have Ricky Ray, Travis Lule, Mike Riley, Henry Burris. I'd probably take Bo Levi Mitchell over him. That's 5.
That.
And then who are we missing here? Who's
Drew Willey, which I would take Durant
over. Oh,
before
Drew
Willey,
I would take Drew Willey over Durant right now in a heartbeat. So that's
well,
6. Yeah, that puts him at 7.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. But, we're discounting the fact that he wins, and you have to pay attention to what Kelly's saying, and that winning does mean a lot, And that statement does carry some weight. All he does is win. And I know who he's winning with and all that stuff, but I'm not, all I want to say is because I don't want to put him down because he's a great quarterback. He just has a great team. He has the misfortune of being on a great team.
There's certain guys out there, that have elevated their teammates play not only by their physical contributions but other types of contribution as well, like mentoring and supporting and stuff like that. So I think Darian has a lot of intangibles that make him great, and that's probably where I'd leave it.
Okay. Well, and let's leave it there. I mean, he's a great quarterback. I'm not 100% sure, but, how great, but I just know he's a great quarterback. Did we all get a chance to talk about Saskatchewan and Montreal?
Yep.
Okay, then while we're on the subject of Montreal, I see we have a couple of extra minutes, so I don't want to jump off Montreal. What do you guys think of what's going on in Montreal? This business now that Smith is on the six game disabled list. They've got 4 quarterbacks. Whatever.
He's gonna hang him.
yeah, you know, I mean, is there something wrong with him? Don't you love it when a player says, I don't want to go on the, you know, on the six-game list. I'm okay. I can play. This smells like training camp, doesn't it? Manasseh, what do you think of this whole situation with all these quarterback coaches and all these consultants and all these people that are advising the quarterbacks? Is this beneficial, or is this a panic move, and is the team just having training camp for next year for the quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's definitely training camp for next year. And, you know, like they say, all things that go up must come down. And the Montreal's been dominant for about 10 years, and they haven't had a down year probably since, like, 1999. So for them, it's been a long time overdue, and you know, it had to happen at some point. And we all knew as soon as Cavillo retired, they were going to have a tough time transitioning, and we're just seeing it play out. So it might take a couple years before they turn this thing around.
Who's their quarterback? Are they going to hang their hat on anybody before the end of the year?
It's going to be Jeff Garcia, I think, by the end of the year. I really do. When you saw him on the sidelines, the guy looked fit, man. He looked like he could strap on a helmet and shoulder pads to go out there and play, man. I mean, he's got to be better than Alex Brink. I mean, really. I mean, Brink looked just
44, and he looks like he's 64.
How about the forgotten man, Tanner Marsh?
That's the part I can't believe.
What is Tanner Marsh even thinking?
I don't understand. He carried that team for a little while.
Yeah, he did. He has to be looking every time Alex Brink throws the ball. If I were him, I would just stand right in front of the coach and look at him directly in his face and say, "Really? We're just gonna keep Alex Brink out there? I mean, come on, man."
What did he do? I'm curious. What did Tanner Marsh do? You know that you know, is it the coaching staff that they get turned off Smith and now say, "Well, we don't want to look at you for 6 weeks." And Marsh did Marsh do something last year? You know, and the coaching staff and or management is going, you know, last year, I remember one of the most impressive games that a quarterback, two or three games that he had, I couldn't believe how great a quarterback he was. I was thinking, holy crap,
right.
This guy's good.
It even had a nickname, Frank. It was Marsh Madness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Right?
Yeah.
What happened?
And you're absolutely right, Frank. You know, like, the guy dropped off the face of the earth, and it's almost like he cheated with one of the coach's wives or something like that, you know? Like, he's just been blacklisted or whatever for some reason, you know?
Yeah,
Montreal didn't collapse because Calvillo retired. Montreal collapsed because Mark Trestman left.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Okay.
I think a combination of both. I think it'd be fair to give them both credit.
Calvillo had a terrible year under Hawkins, and he got hurt, and he wanted to stay hurt. He didn't want to come back.
Yes, he did. I remember that. You're right. He totally checked out, man.
How about Scott Flory, Brian Chu, Kerry Watkins, Jamal Richardson? The list goes on and on, you know, like there's a lot of stall. Anwar Stewart, they lost these guys all within a 2-3 year period. And,
Avon Colburn.
Jay Emery, exactly. Avon Colburn, bingo, Diamond Ferry, you know, like they lost a lot of body. I don't know if they could be expected to be great after losing all those guys and Trestman to boot.
Yeah, it was more than just Trestman, but I think Calvillo was also a part of what made that team great. This is the same conversation we just had a few minutes ago about the quarterback in Saskatchewan. You know, all he did was win, and he didn't look pretty doing it, but he was effective.
No, it without question.
And he was effective, and I think he deserves kudos.
I'm the first to admit that, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't like him, but I'm the first to admit it. He won games.
Okay, we got about 15 minutes left, and that leaves us with one last game to discuss. Everybody happy with what we said about the quarterbacks in Montreal? Yeah, I think we're okay. We can leave it there.
Yes. Lack of everything.
I don't like this conspiracy stuff when you guys talk about it, but I was very unhappy with the officiating against the Argos, BC. There were two receptions, or at least there were two credited receptions for BC that were not receptions. You're not supposed to say that a reception happens when you hold the ball against your waist or your head. It doesn't count as a reception.
Yep.
It was pretty stupid.
What are you talking about?
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying there were two receptions that BC were credited for that weren't receptions. One, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't understand the inconsistency. The definition of – well, you guys help me. What is the definition of a receiver having a ball under control? Two hands?
Oh, he has to,
you know what I mean?
Have it in his hands in possession, and he has to make two steps or what they call two football moves. Meaning by that,
exactly.
A step and a turn or a step in some another action or two full steps before it's considered possession.
And twice that happened, that didn't happen, it was called a reception.
No, he caught the ball, he hit the ground, he still had control of the ball bounced out and was whacked by the Toronto player, and that's the play you're talking about, right?
One of them.
Yeah, there's another one.
He was holding it on his hip. He had it on his hip.
And he had
right.
it contained. It doesn't matter if it's two hands or it's one hand against the body. As long as he had the ball,
That's why I asked for the definition.
You can have it between your leg, and it's a reception.
Well,
so
okay.
I think what Frank might be suggesting, and I don't put words in your mouth, Frank, but I think there may be a little bit of pressure for Braley's BC Lions to maybe, you know, pick up the pace because the West was sort of running away with things and the Lions, you know, last two, they kind of were trailing off a bit. And let's remember, the Grey Cup still hasn't been sold out. And if you guys go on Ticketmaster and look at the tickets available, they have a ton of tickets in the upper deck still available for the Grey Cup. And I guess the fact that maybe some people thought the Lions getting off to a slow start, maybe people weren't that as excited, so maybe they felt like the Lions needed to pick it up a bit, get people in BC a little bit more thinking that their team might be there, and maybe that might help sell tickets, but I don't know. Well, there's room for conspiracy if you're willing to think about it.
Okay, if you want to do that, Frank, at halftime, the penalties were 9 and 80 yards for BC and 1 and 5 yards for Toronto. So don't be giving me this official
call. Hang on. Again, Manasseh said he didn't want to put words in my mouth. You're taking what Manasseh said. No, I asked a question. I said there were two receptions that I questioned as receptions. They did not look like receptions to me.
Were against Toronto is what your opening line was.
Okay, it seemed like it, though, Chris. I mean, that's the impression. Even if the numbers may have been the other way, it still felt that. I think we all agreed it felt like the officials were kind of favoring BC at times. Like, it seemed like at pivotal moments.
I didn't like the two calls, but that happens in football. I'm not going to sit here and say it was a conspiracy and all that kind of stuff. I said, I don't believe in that stuff. But I'm just saying, it would be nice to know what the definition of a reception is. That's all. Because to me,
You can actually have the ball between your knees. And
but
as
I
long
just
as the tip of it does not hit
the
ground, it's considered
to
goal.
I asked the question. I got the answer. That's all I want. I'm not saying it was a conspiracy. It just seemed to me like there were two receptions that I didn't think were receptions. And they benefited BC not because of a conspiracy, but it just worked out that way. The appearance.
Did they go
and I think
to
even Manasseh said the appearance. Well, that's the thing. That's what ticked me off. They went to the review. And they said he got it wrong. Exactly.
No, they
didn't.
The review got it right.
He had the ball. It was resting on his. It was resting on him. The ball was resting on him. He didn't have a hold of it, and it popped out. Go ahead.
We've seen those calls over and over and over again throughout the years. One of the most famous ones is S.J. Green in that season opener a few years ago in Saskatchewan. He made one of those in the fun zone, and, you know, it was counted a touchdown. You saw, how about that one where Eddie Brown in that snow game for the Eskimos makes that crazy reception kind of off his foot or whatever. Well, that one, like, come on, you know, like, these are all good catches, and we've seen them over and over throughout the year.
So it's a good catch, then, Kelly. So by you're defining it as a good catch, and that's all. I was just asked. I said it seemed that way, and even Manasseh said the appearance. He didn't say it was a conspiracy. He said the appearance of a conspiracy. There was no definite, well, you weren't, Manasseh, saying anything was definite. We were talking about what it looked like. And I asked the question about what a reception looks like. I just want to know what a reception looks like. Because it really, my opinion of what a reception has changed because of that game. And it will remain changed. That's all.
Frank, you want to know what a reception was? You witnessed it. That was a reception.
Yeah. I agree, okay. Chris.
But Chris, you have to at least admit that the Lions got away with a lot of roughing the passer hits on Ray. That usually Ricky Ray gets those calls almost always. And it was kind of weird that he had a lot of calls. They sort of let him fly. And you could see Ray would always be looking at the ref like, what's going on? Because Ricky Ray always gets those calls. He's like the most protected quarterback in the league. And I just found that interesting that they kind of, you know, they didn't really call it.
Everybody cringes when Andre Prue walks out onto the field. Okay? No matter what game in the CFL it is. Okay? If he is going to
that's
have three yards, both sides, both teams say, oh, shit. Okay?
Okay. Forget the foul language, please. All right, so let's talk specifically about the game. For me, it boiled down to specialty teams. You know, the Argo specialty team wasn't that special. And the BC, on the other hand, was very special. Their run backs were incredible. And that was the difference in the game as far as I'm concerned. You know, everything else, you know, the Argos were churning out yardage, but they weren't doing it on special teams, and they were allowing too much of it on special teams.
Tim Brown had more yards than the Argos did.
Wow.
He had 259 yards.
Oh, exactly.
Or kick return.
Most of them were on kick return and run from scrimmage. He had 259 yards. One player.
Wow, and most of it was on the kick returns.
Well, he had two kick returns for 70 yards.
Exactly.
One was 69, one was 70.
And that's half the yardage you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm almost sure that's the season best for all-purpose yards because Anthony Allen had it until then, and it was 249.
There you go.
Yeah, it's 259 yards. It was just an amazing game for Tim Brown.
He killed him.
He's not a starter.
Right.
He's not
Stephen Logan was awesome as well. They didn't miss Andrew Harris. You know, They ran the ball down our throat, literally, in every way possible.
I've seen it.
Oh, well, it's too bad. I still have it on PVR, and I watched part of it, and I just can't believe how, you know, but that's the beauty of the CFL and the beauty of football and the game itself. You know, we're an individual, and, you know, this doesn't bode well for BC. This is your one weakness, Chris. If a teams can shut down any one player that has a big game, your season has boiled down to most of the time big games by individuals. And I commend those individuals, but that's not a good sign for a team. That might be a concern. You know, that might be a concern down the road.
I agree with you, Frank, but I'll tell you what it is. It's Andrew Harris. It's Stephen Logan. It's Tim Brown. It's Manny Arsenault. It's Courtney Taylor. It's Marco Iannuzzi. They all have big games, but I have enough of them that it doesn't matter which one you shut down.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know, but again, I'm just saying. And that's what makes your team exciting and Saskatchewan a little bit boring. And that's the point I was trying to make with Saskatchewan, that they're a bulldozer like Manasseh said. But in deference to Saskatchewan has such a great fan base. They don't need to excite their fans. They're excited by their lonesome, by their own, you know. The rest of us, we need teams that excite us. And you have a very exciting team, and I witnessed it firsthand and in person. And it was incredible. They did a great job. Your special teams just killed us. You know, they were special. It was really special and pissed me off.
Yeah. But Solomon is going to get tested next week, though. Next week, when the green machine shows up, this is where we're going to find out who the Lions really are.
And we're going to find out if boring works or exciting works.
Right?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out the difference between boring and exciting.
I'm taking the Lions, guys. I win either way that way.
Well, that's just chicken noodles. That is just that's pathetic. What did you think of the Toronto PC game, Kelly?
Well, like I said, I didn't see a whole lot of it, but just hearing you guys comment on it, I can kind of, you know, you guys do such a great job of breaking everything down and you know, talking about the important parts of the game. Now I feel like I've, you know, kind of taken part in that, and, you know, it sounds like it was a fantastic game to watch. I really appreciate, Frank, that you get to watch it live and then go home and watch it on the PBR and have those two perspectives to, you know, share with everybody.
Totally
and,
different. Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally
watching the game
different.
And watching
sure.
the game on TV, you get a whole different, there's a whole different take on the game.
I just want to say kind of in closing, because we're wrapping up here, I'm just looking forward to that Banjo Bowl now, fellas.
Oh, man.
That's my focus. It's going to be amazing.
Manasse, what did you think of the game between BC and Toronto? Did you get a chance to catch it?
Yeah, I got to watch it. The first thing I noticed, first of all, great. The uniforms were fantastic. That BC's and Toronto's are great. Like, the way they
great contrast.
Kind of contrasted each other.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
That was good that way.
Good yeah, contrast. Definitely. Absolutely. And the game, you know, the game was great. And the BC Lions, wow. I mean, they've been surprising us the last couple of weeks, and their offense is starting to come together. And the one thing I think Chris would really want to probably agree with is their offensive line is vastly improved from last year. Last year, their O-line was clearly their Achilles heel all year. And this year, it's completely opposite. I mean, they're just opening holes. It doesn't matter who's running the ball. Kevin Glenn is getting more and more time every week. And it's allowing the receivers like Manny Arsenault to get open deep, and they're starting to click on all cylinders. So, well, we're going to find out next week. We're going to find out just how good they are. They're going to be tested, you know, with John Chick and Foley and Terrius George coming at them. We'll find out how good that O-line really is.
Well, that's the beauty of football, right? We can all imagine what two teams will do with each other or against each other. It's great that we can debate it, but it's fantastic when you finally get to see them meet head-to-head because it becomes a rude awakening real quick. What did you think of the BC-Toronto game? I didn't ask you, did I, Christopher?
No.
I always save you for last. You always like me last.
For three quarters, I thought that BC kind of played to Toronto's level, and I don't think that the BC offense really even came to play in that game. They just didn't. They didn't perform. They didn't come out and do anything spectacular. We scored a lot of points, 20 points in the last quarter. It was all because of defense. Defense took the ball away, and it was a pick six for Ronnie Yell. It was another pick, and then we turned it into a touchdown. It was another pick, and we kneeled the ball at the one. It was a defense that won that game for us. It was not our offense. We did not come out and steal the show. It wasn't a dominant win by any stretch of the means. I'm not comfortable with where my team is. I'm happy with them. I'm just not comfortable that they're going to be able to go the distance with them the way that they're performing at this point in time.
That's why the season's 18 games long.
Yeah, I know. And I hope Lule comes back
process.
And can do something. I'm not blaming Glenn. Glenn played a fabulous game this week. He played a spectacular one last year with 407 yards. But the offense just isn't clicking yet, and it just doesn't seem to be doing it. We're ripping off runs, but that's a Ryder offense. It's not a BC offense. And I don't
I'd like to tip my hat to the Argo defense. I hate to break it to you, but the Argo defense has been pretty good.
They've improved.
Your quarterbacks were trying to throw in the shadow of a few white jerseys that whole game.
Yeah. They played defense on both sides of the ball, played an extremely good game. The only thing I can say is I think Toronto's offense started to get tired in the fourth quarter. And they were losing a step, and Ricky Ray was throwing the ball where it should be going, and the receiver wasn't able to get there. And our DBs went, thank you.
And I said at the beginning, his go-to guy, Jay Barnes, came into the lineup, and I didn't even notice him. No, I didn't look at the stat sheet.
Barnes, 3 catches for 27 yards.
And that's not Ricky Ray, you know, Jay Barnes combination.
And
there was no quarter route.
20.
Yeah, and that's all good. Like I said, it's a process. I guess we'll leave it there. Gentlemen, Manasseh, thank you for giving us a call. And I got your message about calling you, but you were already here when I saw it. And, of course, Chris Jones is always a pleasure. And, of course, Kelly Bale and, you know, Bruce John Inch. And, of course, there you go.
Overtime.
No, got to go to bed, buddy. Oh, I am tired.
I have things to do. You guys take care. Check out.
All right.
Yep. Okay, guys. We'll see you later. Thanks a lot, guys. And, of course, Storm Schmidt. We'll see you all later, gentlemen.